The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Megan Holiday episode. I met Megan through the homie Ryan Davis, Off the Grid Ryan, and she was highly recommended. My favorite part of the interview is when she is talking about how she got a job at K-Rock. So tune in. Thanks for tuning in. And, yeah, I'll catch you next week. Hi. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome radio DJ from K-Rock, Megan Holiday. Did you like
that?
Love
it.
Is that weird?
No, I loved it. Honestly, for me, the weirder, the better.
But
how I feel.
I extended my piano playing.
Did you?
Didn't you notice that I kept... Repeating the same note.
It just felt right. Yeah. So does each guest get their own unique playing intro?
Yeah. You play similar kind of, I don't know that many notes. Okay. I really don't know how to play. But
that was really pretty though.
I kind of do variations of the same thing. Okay. The C and F. So,
fair enough.
Yeah. You were highly recommended by my homeboy, Ryan.
Yes.
Ryan Davis.
I love him.
Off the Grid Ryan. So shout out to Off the Grid Ryan. That's like my brother.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love him. I met him when I went on Sam Tripoli's Tinfoil Hat podcast.
Shout out
podcast.
To Sam. Sam's a homie too.
I love Sam. Yeah.
Shout out to Sam and Ryan.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that's when I met Ryan and he and I just, we just totally had
kindred.
Kindred spirit.
Spirits.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And, I talk to him every now and again. So when he hit me up, I was like, oh my gosh, this is rad.
Yeah, it worked out.
It really did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It worked out. You are our first, this is a special night because you're our first radio personality.
Ooh. Hell yeah.
And I grew up kind of with K-Rock.
Did you?
In the 90s.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Do you remember Loveline?
Of course, yeah.
So I would listen to, look at Craig smiling. I forgot, it was in the 90s, but I had a radio near my bed and it played at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tune in and I would lay down and listen to Loveline.
Yep. Yeah. I feel like all of us did.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time when you couldn't wait to be in the car at that time so that you could listen to all the weird calls that were coming in, you know?
I remember that.
Yeah.
So you grew up during
I mean, Loveline was on up until,
do you remember that,
2016. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I actually was filling in on nights when I first started at K-Rock, mm-hmm, in 2016, and Loveline was still going on. So Dr. Drew would come in and we would do crosstalk.
That was before he blew up.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the night, no one really knew who he was.
Yeah, I know.
And it was weird because I was a virgin throughout high school. So I don't know why I was even listening to Loveline. I would just like vicariously live.
Curious.
Yeah, because they would talk about all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, oh, I was like, because I was going to Bible studies.
Okay.
I was like, I don't know why I was listening to it, but it intrigued me.
It was very intriguing. Mm-hmm. And they would talk about all kinds of things. It wasn't just sex related. Yeah. It was,
STDs,
substance pregnancies, abuse stuff,
yeah,
mental health stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think it was just interesting.
It's kind of revolutionary.
It really was
back then.
Yeah. I mean, before it was before everybody displayed their entire lives on the internet.
On the internet,
you know,
it was before the internet in the '90s.
Yeah,
dude?
I mean, kind of. Yeah,
it's crazy now.
I know. I want to take my phone and just throw it in the garbage sometimes.
You know what,
I just,
dude?
Like, want to chuck it out the window.
I trip
and I'm like,
out
nah.
At Starbucks. Like, I'll like look at people or like anywhere in the grocery store, but anywhere, and everyone's
looking down.
Like they're like, it's like a part of their body.
It's Orwell's 1984 is happening. Right,
shout
now.
Out to George Orwell.
Yeah, what's up?
Shout out to George Orwell.
What's up, Orwell?
Do you think now, like, since we're talking about technology, I mean, and the phone and stuff, do you think the next step is having that integrated within your body structure?
I mean,
internally, like,
I wouldn't put
like
it
the mark
past
of the beast,
them.
Like,
I know, right?
Like,
well,
that.
They were trying to do those RFID chips, mm-hmm, right, for a while. I remember.
Oh, don't they have that in dogs?
Yes.
To find
yes.
your lost dog?
But they were really pushing that in humans. Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe, I don't know. I don't know if it was 10 years ago. And yeah. I don't know why that all fell off, but I'm glad that it did. Because, you know, because they're going to be like, you can just pay for your stuff. Just swipe your chip. Like, you don't have to have
your driver's license
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, everything.
Your credit card information's
totally.
On it. Everything's
yeah.
on it.
Yeah.
Now, if they propose that in about 5 to 10 years, and they go, okay, you just got to go to this clinic, and then all your banking information's on there. But it also will enhance your ability as a human. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
you become like a cyborg or
right,
like
right.
Terminator.
Yeah, where it just
would you do
it becomes it? A part of, no, absolutely not. No way, man. No way. I'm trying to be like off the grid Ryan here.
Yeah.
You know?
That's when have you seen Red Dawn, the movie Red Dawn?
I don't
where
think
they,
so.
Where they go
in
up
that?
Into the mountains. The old one was Patrick Swayze.
Oh,
and I think
okay.
But they go.
These dudes have seen it. Yeah.
Of course these dudes have seen it. But they usually like Russia's attacking.
Okay.
I mean, the original Russia is attacking, and they have to go out into the mountains and like just get away from everything.
Uh-huh.
Do you think there'll be a moment when these robots like are implemented that we'll have to like leave the United States?
I wonder that. And when I was doing when I was doing large quantities of speed,
did you smoke it or did you?
I would smoke it.
Meth.
I mean,
I did too.
Snorted it, sure, but
yeah,
then
I've chased
you,
a dragon. A few
oh
times.
Yeah, but once
yeah.
you start smoking it, you just mm-hmm. don't go back. So, but I was into the doomsday prepping stuff, and I would watch a lot of that, and
mm-hmm.
I was started ordering stuff online. Mm-hmm. But then when I, you know, when I got sober, I was like, just fucking relax.
We got that
dude.
In common now
yeah.
too, because
yeah.
we went the other route.
Yeah,
yeah, we went the other route. Uh-huh. But yeah, like with the speed thing, that's a really hard thing. Actually, when I did it, I would like literally get paranoid, or I would think I could fix my computer, or I would think that I could like record like a Beatles album,
uh-huh.
or I'm like, oh, dude, I could come like.
There's
I,
a
I
lot
could
of
do it
projects
right
happening at
yeah.
all times. A lot of projects.
It's crazy.
And the paranoia is it. I mean, it ate
yeah.
me alive to where I quit my job because I believed that there. I worked at a winery at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
was this in the Bay?
This was in the Bay. And
wait,
this,
are you from the Bay?
No, I'm from here. I'm from Rancho Cucamonga, but I lived in the Bay for about 9 years.
What year did you move there?
I moved there in 2010.
Okay, that's what's up.
Yeah, and then I moved back in 2014.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, keep going with your story. Like.
So yeah, so when I was I was working at this winery and I was just like doing a shitload of speed.
Were you drinking wine too?
I was drinking wine.
That's what's up.
I was doing heroin too mm-hmm. when I could afford it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, but I mean, I was not eating. You know, I was like 100 pounds.
Not.
Yeah. How can you?
Yeah.
So there was like people. I remember this one day when these people came in and then they left. It was like a big group of them, and then I swear to God, they left and then they did a costume change, and then the same group came back in. And I was so paranoid Like, I really thought that that's what happened. To this day, like, I swear that that is what happened, but why wouldn't that? What, that just can't be. And yeah. So from that day forward, I called my boss and I quit. I was like, I'm not coming back. And then it was like a week later, I moved down here to go to rehab.
Now, when you made that decision, did you do that on your own?
To or get
did
clean?
You, you know, did you have like an intervention?
No, I didn't have an intervention. Yeah. I went to rehab, you know, and I had tried to get sober a few times.
Me too. I relapsed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had like 2 years and I relapsed.
Oh, wow. Weed. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. I know. I
smoked a blunt.
Yep.
Then next thing you know, off to the races.
I know. Well, because, yeah, if you're going to have one, like, why not just,
He's seen me at my worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's rough, you know. Yeah. I could never stay sober. And even when I went to rehab and I got sober then, I still relapsed after that. And it wasn't until 3 years ago when I just hit total rock bottom and I was completely cut off from everybody, like my family.
Your parents?
They wanted nothing to do with me. So
Do you take money from them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
That sounds just about right.
Oh, yeah. You know, you lie, cheat, steal, you do whatever you gotta do.
But the beauty in recovery is you can always make amends to them.
Exactly. So, exactly. You know.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And that's been a beautiful part of my life is the making amends.
The
and
transformation
just,
of
dude,
like,
I'm like a completely different person today.
You just clean your side of the sidewalk and then so you could trudge forward and all that. Yeah,
exactly.
That's so crazy. Yeah. Ryan mentioned that, but I didn't want to like bring that up because, you know, the anonymity thing. I'm still kind of weird about that. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm pretty,
press,
I'm like,
press, radio, and films.
I'm really,
but, like,
I know.
Yeah. But
I
they didn't say podcasts.
Yeah, it is. And as long as you say 12-step recovery, I think it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way that I feel about it now is that people need to know that you can get better and that recovery is possible.
Dude,
so,
I couldn't go a day without at least a beer or weed. Like,
oh, totally.
I could not do it. I couldn't function.
Absolutely.
But hey, look.
I know. Look at us now.
It happens.
I mean, it's not every day is the most fun day because like it's crazy in here. But we do the best we can.
That's what's up.
And we have the tools now
to function.
Exactly.
And to live kind of like the right way.
Yeah.
It's
more about now living in the solution instead of being a victim all the time.
I hear you.
To every fucking thing, you know?
I still have problems with that. I like to blame other people, but at least now I realize that I'm doing that.
Yes.
And,
I
do therapy too now. Mm-hmm. I see a therapist. So shout out to Dr. Choi.
What's up?
He's helping me every week. We're going through my childhood trauma and just everything, family mechanics and just the way I was raised and why I react to certain things, why I, you know, and all that. But there's more work to be done.
So, always. Yeah. Always.
I'm ready now. I mean, if you were to come to me like year one in my sobriety, I'd probably be like, I ain't seen a therapist. I'm already going to meetings.
How many years sober?
10.
10? Oh, my God. That's so awesome.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah. But see, for me, that just goes to show you that the work is never done.
Yeah. I can't lie. I'm tempted by weed, but like bad.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's so accessible.
I know, and it smells really
good. And even the homies
good.
Weed, I'm like, let me just smell it.
I know,
and
I know.
I'll be like, all right.
Because
there's
again,
gummy
I'm
bears.
Like afraid because it's so strong now. I'm just like,
the edibles.
Yeah.
And then there's shops, and you could get the best. It's the way more potent.
But then we would never leave our houses, dude.
You know what? You're
right. Take two rips of that thing, I'd be like fucking panic attack.
Oh, and then dabbing. Margaret Cho was on here talking about dabbing.
Yeah.
And that's new.
Yeah,
that's new to me.
Yeah, that's new stuff.
Yeah.
That's a next
and the,
level.
And the gummy bears, like there's like, or there's like ones that look like little jellies.
Yeah.
And I remember a friend of mine took like, only it's like a really small amount. And she
I hear you.
She took like half of it.
She slept
she
on it.
Freaked
yeah,
out.
She slept on the
you
dosage.
Know?
Yeah.
I guess you have to take like a really teeny tiny bit. I'm like,
I worked at Amoeba in early 2000 and I was a cashier at first. Then they had me up into the, in the warehouse. But when I was when you're cashiering, you have to be on point. Like, you know, you're working with, you're like ringing up customers
right.
all the time.
And it's busy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's busy. Mm-hmm. But then, but when they transferred me up in the warehouse, I had, it was like a different world. Like I had my cubicle, no one was around. What I did was, you know, like jewel cases of CDs, like let's say like a bin of jazz CDs came in and they're dusty. I would transfer all the inserts into new jewel cases. And then, you know, I would just do that and then put it in boxes. So like, it was like just like really laid back kind of like monotonous work. So I, it was like, I had more freedom, but then one night they were super busy. Like they needed an extra cashier. But I, that day I ate a whole, during my break, I bought a marijuana cookie, but I didn't, I slept on the dosage. I ate the whole thing. I ate the whole thing. And they, and then they, on the intercom, they go, Stephen Lee, can you report to register three? Stephen Lee, report to register three. And then I was like, I like, I felt like Freddy Krueger was after me. I was like, oh no, like, they call my name. And then dude, that like one of the owners, Karen, they kept looking, they had to look for me.
Oh my
They're
God.
Like, Steve, we need you at register three. Come on. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm just had a, I was in the bathroom. I'll be down there. So like I made my way and I remember I was at the register and like I was not functioning right. So back then, I don't know about now, but okay. So they have a cheat sheet like on the side of your register where like if you put in number 5, it's for vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
Number 6 is for CDs. DVDs are, you know, it's like a really easy way to ring people up. I don't know if they still have that, but I couldn't even read that.
Yeah.
Like I was like trying to read the sheet. I was like, and they're like, it took me like 15 minutes for each customer.
I remember like, I got to a place when I was using where I was like, fuck edibles. I'm not doing edibles anymore.
It's a different type
I had,
of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I had, I was in Golden Gate Park or Dolores Park and I.
Is that Frisco?
Yep.
Yeah, Frisco.
And I had like a truffle and I just remember
what's a truffle?
It was like a, it was delicious. It was like a chocolate weed.
Oh, yeah.
Truffle thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was so good. This guy would come around and like gold plated and like, he was like a little gypsy that floated around Dolores
Park. How
much
for a truffle?
It was like $5, you know?
And it'll get you
wet. Yeah. Oh, my God. But I remember walking home and I felt like I was
on mushrooms?
Floating. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just, and then I just went home and I was like, I just want to go to sleep. And I was like, I'm not going to do edibles anymore.
Yeah.
So, and honestly, towards the end of my, you know, my drinking
using,
and using,
yeah,
I didn't give a shit about weed anymore.
What do you mean?
All I cared about was heroin and speed. You know, I was like, weed's fine, but I don't, you know, it's like, I don't care about
it. Did you shoot up?
I did, but I wasn't always shooting up. I mostly smoked it.
Oh, you smoked
but,
it, yeah. Because
I don't like the needles, so I would make other people do it for me. But and I also like to still be awake. Like I don't just want to like nod off. Like I like to have the perfect mix of speed and heroin.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I would smoke it off
how
the foil.
How do you get that balance correct?
You get it. We find it one time, and then you're forever chasing it. Yeah. I used to keep a roll of foil under my car, the seat in my car.
Have you seen that movie Drugstore Cowboy?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, Matt Dillon. Is it Matt Dillon? Matt Damon. Yeah. No, Matt Dillon.
Yeah, Matt
not,
Dillon.
Not
yeah.
Matt Damon. Matt Dillon. Who else? Who was the female that was on there?
Oh, what's her name?
God, what's her name?
She's Roller Girl.
God, what's her name?
Heather Graham.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a damn good movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was Gus. Was Gus Van Sant.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. He did some good movie, didn't he? He did Goodwill Hunting, a couple other ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So did you? Let's go back to your. We're just kind of.
Oh yeah, we're just going.
This is easy.
Oh yeah.
Let's go back to. So you're originally from where?
From Rancho Cucamonga, which is 45 minutes east.
There's a lot of Asians in that community.
Yeah, I suppose there are. Yes,
there's a lot of Asian families.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
the IE. Inland Empire.
So you went to high school, middle school?
I went to high school in Glendora. I went to an all-girls Catholic high school.
What was that like?
St. Lucie's. You know what? I liked it. It was, you know, wake up, throw on a uniform, no makeup, go to school. I got a good education.
But what about, like, you're missing out on school dances? Yeah, dudes.
No, but we had a brother school, Damien. So that's where the dudes were at.
Omen 2, Damien. Omen 2. That's crazy.
And so I was hanging out. I was hanging out with the dudes, you know? Yeah, that's where the guys from Damien was where I started my drug extravaganza.
Oh, you really get high with it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. It was fun times, yeah.
So Eric could already tell, not only at the fact that you work as a DJ for K-Rock, but like I could tell you're heavily into music.
Yes.
Like, so when did you, like, what bands, like, did you, like, grow up with, and, like, what made you want to, like, work for K-Rock?
Well, I think for me, you know, I was exposed to riding in the car with my dad going to school every day. He would listen to oldies. So I grew up listening to oldies, which I love. That's, and honestly, up. Still more now than ever.
Yeah.
I'm listening to, like, the Beatles and Allman Brothers Band and, you know, the Rolling Stones and all that stuff. That's really what I love.
That's what's up. Yeah.
But then, you know, I got into pop music. So then I was listening to, like, Britney Spears and NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and all that crap.
But what about Blink?
Well, yeah. Then it was like Sublime and Blink and all that. Yeah, and then it was emo time.
What about Green Day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I never got super duper into Green Day, but I've always liked them.
Nirvana.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and then I got really into the emo scene and really into hardcore music. I really liked hardcore.
Like
a what? Lot.
Like punk? Like punk? Hardcore?
Like
punk?
Screamo? Oh, wait. Define
screamo. I'm not, like, really familiar.
I don't know. Like, where, like, all the lyrics are just like. Where they're just screaming everything.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I know that's not for everyone, but I loved it. I still have, like, a place in my heart for hardcore.
And then Deftones as well.
Deftones is my.
I did my research.
Band. You did it.
Yeah, I did my research.
Hell yeah.
It says somewhere on Google that you're obsessed with Pee Wee Herman and the Deftones.
Yeah. Dude, the back.
Yeah, let's you want to talk about Pee Wee or what's up?
Yeah, I just want to show you my phone.
I'm a fan.
I can't really find it right now, fuck it. But anyways, I have a funny wallpaper
on there.
But,
dude, Pee Wee's Big Adventure, dude?
That's...
Come on, dude.
That's my favorite.
Do you remember Francis?
Remember
he ate the
with
gum?
The gum? Yeah, with the gum, yeah. Or his dad, yeah.
Yeah.
Francis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the girl? Dee Dee? Like, who's
the one?
Girl?
Dottie.
Yeah, Dottie.
Dottie.
Dottie. Dottie.
Yeah.
That's like, what year was that? Pee Wee's.
I don't know.
Big Adventure.
Was that like, I mean, was it late 80s?
I just remember.
Right?
All I can think about is the music. Dun, dun, dun,
yeah,
dun, dun,
it's dun, Danny Elfman.
Yeah. Danny Elfman.
And
Oingo Boingo, dude.
Yeah, it's directed by Tim Burton, too.
Yeah.
So
I was raised with Oingo Boingo.
That breakfast scene is fucking amazing. Because, okay, let me tell you. I didn't know who Pee Wee Herman was until I was an adult. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, but I didn't
He got weird.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah.
But wasn't he... Okay, my question is this. Wasn't he jerking off...
In a movie theater.
But wasn't it like a porn theater?
Yeah.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do at a porn theater?
Yeah.
So... I don't get what the problem is.
You know,
really.
I think about that, or I've thought about that.
Pee-wee,
like,
you know,
if you were to do that, like, if I was Pee-wee, I would definitely at least try to put a shirt or a jacket over my genitals.
I think I would just do it in the comfort of my home.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
yeah, you can't get busted.
Yeah,
that
you
way.
Can't. Yeah,
unless.
But
they're watching
maybe,
you
but
through
I
the
think that was
computer.
That was at a time where it was almost right before it just started getting crazy, where famous people just weren't. Now they're not able to go anywhere.
Isn't that crazy?
You know,
the fabric of like what you can and cannot do.
Yeah, it's weird.
One tweet could
destroy your life,
or an Instagram post.
And everybody's too sensitive now, and
yeah.
just fucking sucks. You know,
what That's do you think about that? Like,
well. God, I mean, honestly, I think everybody is too sensitive about everything to the point that I am too afraid sometimes to say what I really want to say. So
yeah.
I just, you know, I'm just like, well, but that's why I like going out to the Comedy Store and I like going to comedy shows.
Oh, you know, Frank. So we talk about Frank.
Yeah,
Shout out to Frank.
Frank
Castillo.
Sup. And
we play video games with Frank. And so what are some of your favorite comics that you've seen there?
So obviously I love your brother, you know.
Yeah, he's
Bobby
good.
Lee's
he's good.
Good. I'm a big Chris D'Elia fan.
Shout out to D'Elia. Too.
I love Theo Vaughn.
Shout out to Theo. He's been on here.
Yep. Tony Hinchcliffe is awesome.
Tony, I reached out to him. He agreed to come on here.
Oh my God. I love him. Yeah. There's some great. What about Fahim? I mean, Mark Maron.
Fahim Anwar?
I don't know if I've
he
seen
He was on
him.
Last week. You should
is
check him
Persian?
Out. He's... Yeah, I think.
Because then Middle I have Eastern, seen him. Yeah, okay. Because I'm half Persian, so I'm like, oh, I'm a Persian guy.
There's another character, Lance Gustopoulos, I think, or something like that, where he, a guy with the mullet, but it's like a character as well.
I don't know.
The store, do you like the vibe there?
I love it. I love the vibe of the store.
Because supposedly it's haunted.
I know. I like it.
You
like? I like it. Yeah. It's got a weird thing to it, but I like it. I like being in that kind of energy. Yeah. You know?
You like that energy?
I kind of do.
You grew up with horror movies?
Not really. Oh, okay. I mean, I would watch some horror, but I wasn't super duper into it. But I remember you talking about how you grew up in a house.
Oh, you
that was haunted.
It was built on like a burial ground.
Yeah.
I almost got possessed.
What do you mean by that?
I almost got possessed. I heard like whispers.
Oh my God.
You know, like a legion, like not just one, like there's like 20 of them in one, like both ears.
So how did...
And I was like, I couldn't move. I'm sweating. I'm like, oh, gee. I was trying to say Jesus. I was saying J-E. I was like...
Were you alone?
Yeah. What?
Were you by yourself?
Yeah.
Oh my God. So what'd you do? How'd you get out
of
it?
It was like poltergeist. I grew up like in a poltergeist house. Straight up, dude. Like, what did I do? I'm not religious, but when I screamed out Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. That's gnarly.
Trip out on that.
Okay, that's
trip
gnarly.
Trip out on that.
Yep.
So I don't know about that, those, you know, the spiritual realm with that, but whoever the archons or demons, whatever you want to call them, the jinns or whatever you want to call these entities that mess with you, they that word freaks them out.
Yeah. Whoa.
My brother, it was only on that side of the house. Mm-hmm. So it was like literally the garage was here, my brother's room, bathroom, my room, an extra room, like our study room, and then my parents' room was at the end of this long hallway. It was only on that side of the house. Because my mom and dad, when they used to park the car, they would, like, my dad would, like, run from the garage.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and they finally fessed up to it. Really? They live in Gilbert right now, but okay. I always bring it up. I go, like, tell me, like.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money. But nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
What was up with that house? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They knew.
My brother, they tried to possess my brother. The same thing happened, and he was literally like, he had to run through the laundry room. Oh, yeah, that's right. My brother's room, laundry room was right directly. And then there's the room to the pool. So laundry room, pool. And then he had to jump in the pool to get these cats, these demons or spirits off him.
So scary. Wow. Yeah, but I totally believe in that stuff. I believe that can happen.
Trip out.
Yeah.
You know, I just discovered, and I said this in my diary, Hollywood, that the name of where I live here, Hollywood is derived from the holly tree. And the holly tree is where they would make, witches would make wands.
Oh my God.
So in a way, Hollywood could be called Holly Tree, but then it's kind of, it's a metaphor. Metaphorically, they still, through movies and cinema,
totally,
they're here to put spells on
us.
Oh,
absolutely. Yeah.
Because I have a whole, like, I have a whole conspiracy on, like, I don't know how many years I want to be. I don't know if I want to leave. He's a good neighbor. But I don't want to, like, I wouldn't want to raise kids here.
No, totally. Absolutely. Well, I remember when I had Sam Tripoli on my podcast, and he was talking about how
the energy.
Oh, he knows all about this.
Oh, yeah. We talk about it.
Yeah. And the energy in LA is unlike anywhere else. And it's so true, because I'll drive out to my mom's house. She lives all the way out in like Hemet area. And it's like I'll get like a certain amount of miles away from LA, and all of a sudden I'm like, whew, like, oh. You know?
Yeah, you go out to Big Bear, you're like, oh, I feel cool. This is cool.
Because there's weird energy in LA.
Especially in Hollywood.
Yeah, Hollywood's
weird.
This
is the place for spells.
It's very vibrant.
Not only that, the Masonic imagery.
Oh, yeah.
And a reptilian imagery. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm not going to say the street, but you look at the Kodak Theater, the Jimmy Kimmel building.
Yeah.
Has a Masonic, Freemasonry was built on the hearts of men. And it's up there. No one talks about that. Across from there is that weird mall, and they filmed the Oscars there.
Oh, okay.
And there's imageries of Anu. Like, if you look at the statues, that's like reptilians, like,
when you're
Egyptian.
Driving down Highland, there's all that Egyptian stuff.
Dude, that's for a reason.
Yeah, I know.
That's for a reason. And
everything they do.
Have you seen Jordan Peele's Us yet?
No.
Oh, you gotta see it.
Okay.
Because in that movie, I don't know spoilers, but there's a big theme in that movie where there's a whole like society underground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Underground, like.
Yeah,
below.
Like literally underground.
So,
yeah.
Going back to
and
Hollywood.
That's a whole other conspiracy. I mean, dude, I did, like I said, I did a lot of speed.
Yeah.
I did a lot of research. But I did find a lot of stuff.
But they're saying that there's tunnels underneath.
Underground, yeah.
That's why sometimes I'm paranoid, because I don't know, because I'm really close to the Kodak Theater.
Yeah.
I have a conspiracy that if those tunnels, I don't know how if they reach this far. It's literally only a few blocks up there. So sometimes I feel like when I'm getting like these kind of crazy thoughts, I think that these Masons are like putting spells or doing these seances.
Yeah, well there's definitely some weird stuff going on.
So you don't think I'm crazy?
No. Not at all. People.
Will they
think
flag this on YouTube if Jimmy Kimmel watches it?
I think you have to be really, really, really because look at Sam Tripoli. I mean, you know, he says all this stuff.
We talk about reptilians.
Yeah, I know. So, but like, he's not getting flagged.
Yeah.
You know, I think you have to be on a really high level for them to actually give a shit.
And
if you're tampering with their stuff, they don't.
What was that, dude?
What was that?
Was that like a Masonic sign? Yeah.
Was that a...
okay.
I knew it. Yeah. I knew it.
But
we're going to make it.
So, okay. So you're going to see Us though, right?
Now I am. Okay. A lot of people are telling me to see it. And I'm not a big fan of seeing scary movies anymore, but I will go. I really will. Because I loved Get Out. I thought it was
brilliant. Check this out. You just said Get Out, right?
Yeah.
What was his first movie? Get Out, right?
Yeah.
What's this movie? Us. Get Out of the So if his next move, I'm warning you. I'm saying it now. If Jordan's the homie, by the way.
No,
like,
really.
Yeah, Jordan's the homie. Yeah,
what?
Jordan's the homie. Jordan's the homie.
That's fucking awesome.
We want Jordan on here one day.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Please.
If Jordan's next movie is entitled Now, then we move. We're in trouble.
We gotta go.
Now,
pack your bags.
Yeah, you gotta.
Leave,
yeah.
Get to the airport.
Go to Big Bear or. Yeah. Go to Joshua Tree or wherever.
What would you do? What do you think in all reality you would do if you had to just go? What would be your game plan?
I don't trip on like money like that.
Yeah.
I don't need,
but I mean, supplies, do you have, you know?
Dude, I would get a good hiking backpack.
Okay. Well, you got to do it
now. I would get like a North Face.
You got to get it ready to go, man.
You're right. You know what? I'm going to go to Ray Camping Supplies at the promenade.
You got to stock up.
You need a tent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So this is what
Knives,
I think you need. You need a canteen.
Yeah. You need the thing that
you need matches.
Purifies the water.
Yeah, yeah. You need that.
You know? Yeah.
Maybe a tarp would help.
Because that's all that stuff I started ordering when I was
doing. Oh, so you.
I don't have the stuff, but I was. A lot of things got lost.
I'm projecting, man, in the next 10 years, some things are really going to start getting crazy.
We'll see.
Dude, Craig showed me something about just video gaming. about how it's going to be next level, man. Mm-hmm. Like Oculus, where you like put it on your head. Mm-hmm. Have you seen like Lawnmower Man? You know, like the is that John Carpenter? Okay, but anyway, like where you put the goggles on, and it's a world within a world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you're like, I feel like the future is going to be like, you know, like that's going to be the drug. You know, you said we're talking about drugs. Like the drug is going to be this, where like dudes are like not going to try to find a girlfriend.
Oh yeah, well they already like, don't. I got it's, my people already don't. Yeah, it's already that way. They put gaming into the DSM for. You know, mental illnesses like addictions because...
Oh, they did?
Yeah, because people are literally addicted to gaming and it's a big problem.
Do you think it's harder for, like, let's say there's a, like, dudes in college, they live at the dorm. Do you think it's harder for them if they're into that kind of thing to find, like, a girlfriend?
I think that people today have a hard time connecting in general. And I think that we all are so consumed in our own lives, mm-hmm. and it's a narcissist culture. And I think that when you're raised on, you know, I mean, I remember being on like AOL, like AIM and chatting, and but I was also on the phone a lot. And I'm really grateful that I didn't grow up with just texting, because my ability to be able to connect with people.
We talked.
Yeah, like
I grew up like house,
yeah, like house hours, phone. Hours and hours on the phone.
And if you're really like flossing, you'd have a beeper.
Yeah, oh, I did. Oh, yeah, you did the pager
code. You'd have a beeper, and then totally. That was like, oh, that's next level, mm-hmm. the beeper.
Totally.
But I remember pay phones.
Like I don't like to text. I don't like having text conversations. There's no, you can't tell the context. I've never been on a dating app because I'm like, I shop for shoes like that. I don't want to shop for a dude.
Yeah.
And then it's also this, oh, well, like it didn't work out next culture where I can get a better one. Oh, well. So it's like people are not, they're not attaching. Mm. It's like they're together, but they're not necessarily attached.
No, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? Attaching
I just,
to what?
I think a lot of times people have a boyfriend or girlfriend for show or for someone to do things with. But I don't know that there's necessarily a deep connection, that there's love happening. I think that there is for a lot of people. But I also think there's a population that they don't really, there's nothing below the surface. Yeah.
So you mentioned you never have been on a dating Mm-mm. app.
I just can't do it. I can't.
Why is that?
I don't know, man.
It's harder for the dudes though. Didn't know what you think?
I don't know.
I have a girlfriend, but if I were to hop on, it's like bad for Asian dudes. Like they're not even looking at the Asian dude. They're like, oh no. I'm just being honest. For the Asian dude on the dating site, good luck, dude. Good luck. They're not gonna look at you.
I don't know.
Unless you have gold bars of gold, like on a boat. Like, hey, I'm like Tommy Fan. I have a boat full. You know, I got like 100 bars of gold. Then they'll look at you.
Yeah, but that's sad because I'm not that girl. I'm not. You know, I think for me, it's like I want to meet a dude in real life, and I'm stubborn. Organic. I want it to be organic, and I'm just like, well, if a dude doesn't fucking want to come up and talk to me, then fuck. Like I'm
but that's main point, because of technology and the internet and phones.
There's no skills.
Dudes are cowards.
I know.
You know why? They don't want to feel rejection.
I know.
But life is about rejection.
It is.
You gotta feel that. That's what like
take the risk.
Makes any great art.
Right.
If you get rejected, then. Oh, I'm going to write a song about it. And mm-hmm. it's like one of the best songs ever written. Or, totally. Oh, you're going to break my
People
heart.
People are missing out on experiences that make you better and give you character. Because everybody's afraid to be hurt. And it's this whole sensitive world that we live in where people are afraid to feel fucking anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to feel bad for an hour.
That's
it. Oh, my God.
That's it.
But I have to tell myself that all the time because.
Tell yourself what?
Like that it's okay to feel bad because as an addict and alcoholic,
yeah.
But we always were like, let's internalize get fucked up. Let's numb this. But
that's kind of different because alcoholics or drug addicts, the thinking's already kind of skewed.
Well,
to begin with.
It's fucky.
Like even till this day, like I think someone's plotting something or I'm looking at something and then my girlfriend would be like, no, they just said this.
I know.
And this means
we
this.
Read way too deeply.
And I go,
into
no, they're after me.
I know. But they might be, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, right? But I already know that about me, that I think like not correctly.
Yeah, I know. Same here.
So I have to talk to him. I have to talk to my girl. I got to talk to five people.
I know.
Hey, listen, I was thinking of this. This guy said this, or this person said this. Yeah. The worst is the YouTube comments.
Oh, don't read those, dude. Trust me.
They're going to say this episode.
Oh, yeah. They're going to talk some mad
But
who cares? We don't know these people.
I know, but they get real personal.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, oh,
you can't
Steve
read those anymore.
Blah, blah, blah.
Dude.
Well, good, you know.
But at least they're commenting. Mm-hmm. At least you've made some type of effect on them. Because
it frustrates me, though, because, dude, this is like a free show.
You can't be liked by everybody.
This is a free show. Yeah. I'm giving them free content.
Right.
But they're still not satisfied. They're like,
never going to be satisfied.
Or, dude,
look at the
camera
most talented band or the most talented actors and the most successful people. You know, no one is ever satisfied. People are mad at the new iPhone because of this.
No, but I'm not like that. Okay, you know? Like, if I watch, okay, like, I don't watch my own stuff. I post my own stuff, but I, like, watch other podcasts. We're going to get into your podcast, by the way.
Totally,
but I watch other things. Whenever I watch, I never comment. I'll give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, totally. But yeah.
But I'll never comment on anything. Yeah. I'll like appreciate what I'm watching.
Way.
I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I'll just like go to a different video.
Yeah. But you know, in a way, those comments are good. They're a good thing. Because,
why?
You know, it's like what is it? There's no such thing as bad press, you know? Just let them talk, because at least
they're
talking
about... So you're saying
even
if it's negative emotion,
yeah, it's good.
They're giving you something.
They're giving you something, and you've struck a chord within them, so it's better for them to be feeling something than nothing. Because nothing... I was talking to Billy Corgan, and he said that nothing is worse...
Oh, Smashing Pumpkins?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what's up. I grew up with Siamese Dream.
Nothing is worse than apathy, you know? Oh. Apathy is the worst thing. That's what you don't want. And
you talked to Billy Corgan?
I did. The Smashing Pumpkins played Acoustic Christmas this past year, and my friend Jimmy manages them, and I was like, dude, can I please meet Billy Corgan? So
I'm going to ask you I'm going to throw this question out.
Do it.
I have my one favorite song that they've ever done. Guess what it is. It's off Siamese Dream.
Oh, God. I'm not going to be able to guess
it. It's something that you could put on a sandwich.
I don't know their discography
mayonnaise.
Well enough. Mayonnaise, okay.
Is there a song called Mayonnaise?
No. Not that I honestly couldn't tell you. Wait, I couldn't tell
hold
you.
Hold up, man.
You're like, it's my favorite song.
I was
song,
so confident.
And it's mayonnaise. Like, is there a song called
Hey, look up Siamese Dream. Is there a song called Mayonnaise?
I honestly don't know.
Smashing.
I'm a terrible
Pumpkins.
Radio DJ, but.
Smashing Pumpkins. No, it is Mayonnaise, I think. Yeah, Mayonnaise.
Yeah, there it is.
Damn good song. Mayonnaise.
There it is.
Dude,
your
this
favorite?
Album, I was going to Arizona State, and this girl in my dorm, I think she was from Pennsylvania or something, and she was like, she's the first one, like, I didn't have tattoos or anything back then, but she was like, kind of like, scoping me out, but not like in a, like attraction way, like, just seeing like my style,
and
she's like, you need to get your nose pierced. I go, really? She's like, dude, you're going to look so cool if you get your nose pierced. Come to my room tonight. I'll do it for you.
Oh, my God,
And
no.
So she would like, I remember her sticking an ice cube on my nose. And she's like, just relax. You're going to look so cool. This is, you're going to be cool.
It's like from a movie.
like I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to be like James Iha now. Like, I'm going to be like,
right.
Like a member of the show. Like, yeah, I was thinking James Iha. Like, oh, that's me. Then I'm gonna get blonde streaks. I'm gonna be cool on college campus.
Oh yeah!
But the whole time she kept repeating mayonnaise. You know, she kept playing the same song.
Oh my God.
And like she would like word like she would like pierce, she would pierce my nose, but she'd be singing the lyrics to it, and then that always just kind of like
like stuck. burned a forever memory.
But she like, you know how certain people when they like they're so into the song, like it almost looks like they're about to cry.
Yeah,
she was like. You know, like, and I was just like, and I was like, dude, just pierce my nose. Like,
let's go.
Yeah,
let's do it.
But did so it, that song, I'm a fan of that album.
Okay,
it's a great album. Great
I should go listen
album.
To it, after
dude.
Because you know, here's the thing with the grunge bands and stuff.
Yeah.
Since I didn't grow up during that time,
yeah.
I'll be honest with you. It's like I know the hits, and I'll go back and I'll listen to singles, and it's not my all, like, absolute favorite era.
What's your other single? Today is Today. The greatest.
What's their other one?
1979. Yeah, 1979. Yeah. Love that song. Yeah.
And then the Rat in a Cage song. Okay. What's that one?
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I should know this. Yeah.
He's got crazy range.
Crazy range.
Yeah.
They what's sounded really good.
What's he like as a person?
He was so kind to me.
Oh.
He was so sweet.
Yeah.
You know, we had a really great conversation. He really took his time to talk with me. Mm-hmm. We talked for like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then I asked him if I could take a water from his dressing room. And he was like, oh, yeah. I was like, hey, Billy, can I have this Fiji water?
So this was, I thought
like,
this
yeah.
was.
Yeah, I was like, who oh, am my I God. Right now?
So
like,
this was at a show?
This was at our Acoustic Christmas show.
Acoustic Christmas. This was the Acoustic Christmas
yes,
show.
Yes, this past year.
For K-Rock.
For K-Rock.
Okay, let's go to K-Rock.
Okay,
now.
Let's do it.
When did you want to pursue, like, working there?
Well, okay, so my radio career started in San Francisco.
In the Bay. Frisco.
Yep. In Frisco. So I had met someone that worked there when I was in college, and yeah. I was going to their summer festival, mm-hmm. and he saw something in me that I didn't know was there. He just could tell how passionate I was about music.
Yeah.
I was at their show, and I was on a lot of mushrooms, and I was having the time of my life, and he came up to find his friend that I was with, and she had left, so he's like, do you want to come backstage with me? So we're walking around and whatever, so it planted a seed in my mind that, like, radio could be a thing that you actually pursue.
And you're on shrooms?
I was on shrooms.
How much shrooms did you eat?
I'm going to go with like
an eighth?
Probably a little less than an eighth.
So like two caps and two stems?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, something like that. Because right. I was like a really good, like I wasn't tripping too hard. I was like perfect. I was just happy, you know?
You felt it.
I felt it. Yeah, it was good. So then I moved to San Diego and I did an internship at a station called 91X.
I know.
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you know. That's right. Yeah.
I remember the sticker.
Yeah.
It was like
it's still that.
It was the
yellow and black
and yellow.
And
it had 91X in a certain font.
Yep. It's still like that.
Dude, I just remember like all the cool kids in high school, like
on their parking lot,
on their cars, like in the, like, oh, that's a 91X sticker.
Yeah, dude. And they're still around.
So this was San Diego.
San Diego.
In the 90s.
No. Oh, for you. Oh, okay.
For me, 91X was huge.
Yeah.
But so, continue.
So I interned there in 2009 for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And, but dude, I kept fucking my shit up because, you know, I was like super into coke and I didn't get this one paper that I needed to get signed. So they had to like fire me because I couldn't do anything because I was just always a fuck up, you know? And
were
so
you
then.
Interning there? Like, what were you doing?
Yeah, I was
there?
Interning.
Okay.
And I was just like doing their promo stuff. Like, I was just like canning out stickers, you know, at all the shows, mm-hmm. like putting up the posters, blah, blah. So then when I was going to move back up to the Bay Area to get my master's in to be a marriage and family therapist,
mm-hmm.
that was the plan.
Cool.
So I moved back up there. And then the guy that I had met at Live 105 in San Francisco that I met mm-hmm. on the mushrooms, mm-hmm. he saw that I was moving up there. And he's like, hey, I want you to come work on my night show and be like the sidekick and help me out. So that's how it all started. And then from there, I worked my way up.
Whoa.
But then what I inevitably did again was fuck everything up. And I was doing a lot of drugs. And
Showing up to work?
Yeah, showing up to work. Yeah. I mean, picking up drugs right outside
of
work.
I'm sure people are high. I'm sure DJs are high.
Dude, it's not really like that anymore.
Oh, it's not?
You know?
Oh,
no.
It's just like,
people smoke weed maybe, but honestly, nobody that I work with, like nobody fucks around. It's like, everybody's really professional now.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. And so I was hiding it, like kind of, I was compartmentalizing it, mm-hmm. but then I made a...
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Really big mistake, which I can't really say what I did, but I made a big mistake and they had to fire me. So
why can't you say it?
I don't know. I'm just going to choose not to.
Yeah, okay, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I haven't ever said it publicly and I'm just going to kind of keep it like that.
Okay,
so,
that's cool.
But you know, and I made my amends for it and I'm back at that stage. So I got fired.
Dude, but you made amends for it.
I made amends.
So I mean,
And I'm back on at that station again. I'm pre-recorded there like every day. So I didn't work in radio for a long time after that. And then when I got sober this last time around, I was only 60 days sober. I was living in a sober living. And
I worked at a sober living.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It was the best thing I ever did.
I'm the guy that drove you guys to the meetings in the van.
The druggy buggy?
Yeah, the druggy buggy.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I was like a short round from Temple of Doom. Like, I could hardly see the... I could hardly see the road.
Like,
yeah, I was like...
on, like, phone books and
then
shit.
I would just go up Vermont. I didn't even do any other streets. I would just drive on one street. And then, like, the people were like, dude, you take this street. I'm like, no, I'm just going to go straight. Yeah.
It's too scary.
Yeah.
So then I ended up getting hired at K-Rock when I was 60 days sober, which was insane. And the crazy part was it was the same parent company that I had been fired from. So I had to go in and, like, tell my whole story.
That's a trip.
Tell them I had, like, changed, that I was sober. Like,
you told them that?
Oh, yeah, I had to. Because they knew their HR department, like everybody knew, it was like she's banned, you know. It was like so
you kind of like mended that.
I mended it all, and then to now be back on in San Francisco, also the station I was fired from, is like a full circle moment to where it's just like now I get to go do that job and be sober and be present and be myself, and so it's just been an amazing trip. But I never set out to do radio. I had no idea that I was ever going to do this as a profession. It just was something that I happened to be good at.
Yeah.
And I was just as shocked as anybody else.
Yeah. What
know?
Are your, some of your favorite things about working on radio?
I like that I can make people laugh and maybe brighten their day up a little bit. And I also like to share about struggles. You know, I got a really nice email today of somebody telling me, hey, you know, when you talked about, you know, having a bad day and having anxiety
this
yesterday.
Is on air?
On air. I'm really open. I'll just say it. And, but people love that. Like, people need, I think people crave authenticity.
Yeah.
Especially, you know,
radio.
In this day and age. Just in anything. It's like, everything is so computerized and regimented and like, and just people sounding perfect all the time. And it's so boring. It's,
I don't think you can really relate to that.
Like, I don't think you can either, but that's all that people are consuming.
Yeah.
So I just feel like I'm a nice break. Honestly, all the DJs at K-Rock are that way. I've learned so much from working with these people that I work with. They're all honest. They're all authentic. They're all who they are. And and I was like, wow, it's okay to just be yourself.
Okay. So you mentioned you could be yourself, but can you choose what music you play?
No, there's no radio station that exists. I'm telling you, there's no radio station that exists.
Because I know they play the same stuff.
It's all from the music director and program director. And if I'm being honest, I'm glad because I think, honestly, I think the stuff that I want to hear is not the stuff that other people want to hear. It's honestly kind of a relief because I just don't know that I'm... I don't know if I'm getting older or what it is, but I think my tastes are a little bit different than the average person.
Do you guys play dad rock?
Dad rock? No, not. I mean, unless like maybe Pearl Jam, is that dad rock?
Yeah,
Metallica?
The Police.
And... No. We play The Cure, Depeche Mode sometimes.
You
gotta
play The Cure, dude.
Yeah, Dramarama sometimes.
Yeah. Depeche Mode?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I went to Music for the Masses.
I
went to that concert in eighth grade.
Oh, my God.
My mom drove me to
rock. You know what's up.
My mom dropped me off.
Yeah. Got a cool mom.
I had Martin Gore's. I had all that in my room. Yeah. You know what tripped me out most about Depeche Mode? So we're in there. It was at the San Diego Sports Arena.
Oh, nice.
And I had a date. Mm-hmm. And I was embarrassed because my mom was driving us. And I made my mom drop us off on the side of the sport. I go, drop us off here.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, no, honey. I go, no, drop me off here. And then I remember like, God, I forgot the girl's name. But I remember running in there and they just, you know, we had probably like cheap seats like we had, we're in the back. Yeah. But then I wanted to look at the instruments, and it was literally just like four keyboards. It was like a keyboard here, a keyboard here, a keyboard here, and the like Martin Gore or David Gahan, yeah, like yeah, above there. And I'm like, and that's when I realized, like, oh, like that the keyboard produces the sounds, the stuff that I mm-hmm, like. Mm-hmm. Like even the guitar sound, I was yeah, like, oh, the keyboard's like, doing oh, that. Okay. It like made me think of music differently. Like
pulled back far, the veil.
Yeah. But now it's like you're, what, people like, that's like all your it laptop, is, like yeah, hitting the yeah.
It's insane.
It's insane. Yeah, yeah. Now, are you guys, as far as it's, it, when you say it's like programmed, so it has to go through a, like a parent company or like,
no, no, no. It's just work? That we, every radio station has a music director mm-hmm, and a program director mm-hmm, who choose what songs are going to be added to the playlist mm-hmm, and they curate the playlist for each day.
Uh-huh.
So they now, oversee
are they
everything,
all like artists from major record labels or are there independent,
I would say,
artists?
I would say the vast majority are from major labels.
Yeah.
Every now and again, you do get the band that will slip in there, like Fiddler, shout out to Fiddler.
Yeah, Fiddler.
But even then it's I think that they have a really great management team that mm-hmm, knew how to set the meetings mm-hmm, because the fact is you need the song to be heard by the program director and the music director and
to okay it.
Yeah, and the only way they're going to hear it is if you set a meeting with them and you sit down and you play the song for them because oh, they're, you know, they're busy, and out of all of the thousands and thousands of
artists,
I mean, you know.
Now, could there be just one program at K-Rock where it just focuses on
there
like
is,
independent, like where they're not on major
yeah,
labels?
So Kat Corbett does K-Rock Locals Only. It's on every Sunday oh, night, 10 p.m. to midnight.
Locals Only. Go ahead.
Yeah,
plug that.
And
yeah,
she's been doing that for a long time. She just put on the first ever K-Rock Locals Only Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all L.A. local bands that, you know, and a lot of bands like have made their way through Locals Only to making it onto the radio.
So if there's a musicians that are watching this, how mm-hmm, do they submit their song to Locals
they're
Only?
They're going to email Kat Corbett. They're gonna email Kat at krock.com and she listens to every
she's
single
gonna
song.
Listen to it.
Yes, just don't send a dumb email, just attach the wave and the mp3 and you just say, hi, I'm this band, we're from here, here's our single, hope you like it, thanks.
Yeah,
that's it.
And now, how has radio changed throughout the years? Because the internet, I'm sure there's like radio shows on the internet. Like, how's that changed, like the fabric of that?
It will be interesting to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think radio is a medium that always has to exist and it yeah, always will exist.
Yeah, I like K-Earth 101 too.
They're in our building. They're in Entercom
K-Earth
Station.
K-Earth 101.
Los Angeles.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have K-Earth, The Wave, yeah, Jack FM, AMP, and KNX, and K-Rock. All in the same
oh,
cluster.
That's cool.
Yeah, so yeah, K-Earth 101's down the hall.
Oh,
yeah,
that's so cool.
Yeah, I love that station.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But they, you know what station
classics
was the best though?
What?
Was the sound.
Oh, I don't.
Oh,
no, 100.3
the sound.
It
was like classic rock.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. They play the Stones and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All that stuff. I love the sound. Yeah. Oh, but,
do you
yeah,
remember that?
So, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, pirate radio.
Oh.
Yeah, and now it's a Christian radio station.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So,
that's crazy. So,
yeah, like, I don't know how the landscape's going to change. I think, I guess my advice to an artist is like, don't go into trying to get on the radio. Just make the best songs you can, build your core audience, build out your fans, tour, make great songs. And then, you know, that will all speak for itself. You know, you want to be like, because sometimes it's like you can't get out behind the shadow of the hit song that you make
mm-hmm,
to where then if you don't ever make anything that good, like people are just not interested anymore. You want to
yeah,
just build your fans from the ground up.
Can bands make it without being heard on the radio?
Absolutely.
Do you think?
Oh my God. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's so many, yeah, thousands of examples.
Yeah.
So do you think we're in a place now as far as the internet where you could kind of like bypass that, where you could like just make a music video, put it on YouTube and
yeah,
then like, and do it that way?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's something about the radio that kind of like solidifies you.
Oh, of course. There's
you know,
nothing,
like if you're on the radio,
there's nothing
it's
else
like
it. There,
yeah, I mean, there's something about the radio.
And it's when people would, you know, get their requests played,
yeah,
you know, I mean, they would get so happy because everybody is hearing the song that they picked and that they wanted, you know. So
yeah,
there is something special about radio. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
There really is. There is a magical element to it. And I think it's like we're all connecting and we're all vibing at the same rates at the same time.
So
that's, you know, it's like we're universally connected because of that, you know?
Yeah. So do you think that radio will, like, in the future will be so different, like we're like... There'll be different ways to like listen to it, or like different ways bands could submit their music to it, or could there be a radio station where just people create and like they could just get on to their own stuff? Or
I don't really know. It's like that remains to be seen. When I first started, the first show that I was on in San Francisco was the first ever user controlled show. It was called the Free For All, and we partnered with Jelly Radio, where people would go online and they would vote on the songs that would get played on the radio. And part of my job was being in the chat room and getting all of us to like rally around voting the same song on, getting it on. That was in 2010. And the problem I think was that we didn't have an app for it yet. So people had to be on their desktop computers. And so it didn't last. Like it lasted like, I think a year.
Yeah.
And it was really cool and it was really fun. Mm-hmm. But I think that, I don't know. It's a lot of chaos. And what ends up happening too is when we take risks on these lesser known artists, our ratings go down. And so what we come to find out is that people want to hear the hits and they want to hear the same songs over and over and over again.
Yeah, but there could be a hidden gem somewhere.
There could be.
You know what I mean?
But people are so programmed that they don't.
Oh, it is a music program.
Yes.
It's a program. You're listening to a program. Mm-hmm.
And they're
it's a program.
And it's literally a program director.
It's a program. It's a program music mm-hmm. list. It's mm-hmm. programmed.
It is. And there is a math.
Okay,
there
so
is
that
a,
changes
a science
it.
To it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you're hearing the same songs at the same times a day, like if you're really like astute and you notice that stuff, it's because it works. It's because we get the ratings back.
Yeah. Do you play Cardi B?
No, we're alternative rock. But Cardi B is played on Amp, which is right down the hall.
Like,
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your take on Cardi B?
It's because I'm so stuck in the 90s, man. That
of course.
I'm so stuck there that I really like. I'm still kind of old fashioned.
Oh, I know. I understand. It's like it's trash, and I get that. But at the same time, I really appreciate her authenticity and that she just tells it like it is, and she just says it.
It's not really my cup of tea. I respect like her skill set and what she does.
Same.
But I'm like more when it comes to music.
Yeah,
I'm so my
to
palette,
the 90s hip hop because
yeah,
it's
90s
good shit.
Or 90s. Rock
yeah.
like I like you know Modest Mouse and Built to Spill and Pinback mm-hmm. and like just I have like and like The Cure or like mm-hmm. I my palette's so like varied when it comes to
I
even specific groups and
for
during...
me nowadays it's very few and far between. I kind of handpick the modern day alternative stuff that I really like
yeah
you know?
I went to high school with Tom
DeLonge?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
I'm like low-key
so Tom DeLonge, if you ever
Tom
watch
DeLonge.
This, you know, I really enjoyed skateboarding with you back in the day at that Albertsons parking lot. I try to reach, he has a thing called
To
the Stars Academy.
I know, yeah.
I think I need to call that.
Yeah.
I've been trying, we have a mutual wrestling, because I used to wrestle at Poway, but, you know, my friend Rich was close to Tom.
Okay.
And so Rich says that I needed to contact To the Stars Academy.
Yeah.
Because I think his sister works there.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah.
Kind of runs and operates
so,
it.
So that would be kind of revolutionary. Because
that would,
cause
be
that
cool.
would like, it would be kind of like a reunion.
Yeah.
Like a Poway High reunion.
Right.
Well, he's come a long way.
Yes, he has.
But
I guess he's going to do a show on the History Channel.
Yeah, I'm Something happy like for him. He's on my level too. Like,
dude,
he's all about the aliens.
He knows.
And stuff.
Yeah, he knows what's up. I love Tom DeLonge.
What's that? 5 minutes for what? Oh, for till the hour?
Yeah.
Okay.
We could go a little past an hour.
We could go like an hour 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whoa, dude, this flew by. Oh, that's what happens with me though.
It's flying by.
It happens.
Before I forget, you have your own podcast called the Seven Words Podcast.
That's right.
Firstly, how did you come up with the name and what does it mean?
Okay, so I really like stand-up comedy, as you know. Mm-hmm. And I love the George Carlin bit, like the seven words that you... He's the best. He was one of those that I remember watching and I was like, finally, someone is speaking the truth. Someone is telling me the truth.
Yeah.
You know?
There's not a lot. It's very rare. Especially so rare. In today's age, too.
Yeah. He just, I mean, that guy was a genius.
Yeah.
And he
was. I like Bill Hicks, too.
Yeah, Bill Hicks was great. So, yeah, so it's based on that. And then there's also a Deftones song called Seven Words. So I got to sort of couple, like, two things that I love. So, yeah.
So, I mean, who is it? Is it you and your friend? Like, who?
It's just me.
Okay.
It's a one-woman operation.
How do these people tune into you? Yeah.
So I'm on any podcasting medium. Mm-hmm. And you can type in seven words with Megan Holiday
mm-hmm.
and it'll come up. You can also find me on Instagram at Megan Holiday.
Keep going on that tangent.
And at the Seven Words Podcast.
Twitter, Facebook.
Twitter, all that stuff. It's easiest to find me just at Megan Holiday. And there's always a link to the podcast.
Can I do your podcast?
Oh my God. Yeah.
We can talk about all the reptilians. I would love that.
Yes. I would love for you to come on.
I just don't want
to
do it so much here. People ask, like, how come you don't talk? The thing, this platform was basically what you just said the last minute
mm-hmm.
is to, like, put the spotlight on my guests.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about what the guests want, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about reptilians.
Totally.
And, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Palladians.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People might get weirded out by that. Like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but you know what? I might start another series. I mean, I'm coming up with this.
Yeah.
Because I just started a new vlog series where I open up. I have a PO box to the show, and then I open up the packages on camera.
Oh, okay.
And I read their letters and stuff. But I might have another platform. I mean, I'm just coming up with this now.
Yeah.
Like with
let
you
it
right
happen.
Now.
Let it marinate.
I might. Do a thing. Maybe I could throw Sam on there, or if Ryan wants to help me out, but maybe just focus on like more of the weirder stuff.
I think that you should, because then it'll be more for that niche audience.
I mean, this I'm still learning, man.
Just, you know what, talk about whatever the fuck you want to talk about, man.
Yeah,
you know, just be you.
Yeah,
have a good time.
Yeah, I kind of did that with talking about the Hollywood, the Holly Tree.
Yeah,
and
that was fun.
Yeah.
I think you just have to know who you can talk to about that stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I'm down.
Like, yeah.
I like Kevin and Bean brought me on the morning show basically.
Who are they?
Kevin and Bean morning show on K-Rock.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. Kevin and Bean, I'm sorry.
So they brought me on to basically rip me a new asshole for being a conspiracy theorist, but it was hilarious. And
but
was
so
really
you're
fun.
On that tip too.
Oh yeah, yeah, I love it. I love it.
So yeah, I didn't know that you're on that tip.
Oh yeah.
So we got to do another part two or three. I didn't know. I didn't. I was trying to avoid it.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not like I can sit here and, you know, I really don't. I don't know that anything is true. With anything, I just feel like nothing. We can't really believe anything. Is sort of where I'm at. I'm just very.
I agree.
I'm very skeptical about all of it.
I like to gather the information.
Yeah, and I'm observing. Mm-hmm. But I'm not gonna get pulled into like Democrat, Republican. Like, well, I'm like, come on. We all know it's the same bullshit.
It's the stuff behind
it's just,
that.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's just a facade.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, what are you laughing at, Craig? Okay. All right, dude, that was dope.
I had
a great time.
Me too.
Yeah. Hey, I'm gonna get Ryan on here too soon.
Yeah.
Off the Grid Ryan.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get him back on here. People been asking about him.
Yeah.
And Yeah, he's the one that connected us, actually.
I know, and
yeah.
I love him for it.
Yeah. So you did said your let me make sure. You said your Instagram. You said do you have a website?
I don't.
But your podcast has a website?
Nope.
But that's the Seven Words podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on iTunes and everything.
iTunes, okay. Spotify, Google Play.
Okay, that's
all
what's
stuff,
up.
Yeah.
I have to do some announcements. There's no sponsors this week. In the future there will be, but I want to welcome my new patrons on my Patreon. If you want to support the show and then get the insights and the inside scoop on the show, go to my Patreon, patreon.com/StevieWeeby. This week's new patrons are Luis Labriola, Marvic Garcia Ortiz, Ethan Sal, Stefan Bolzing, Paul 88 Pawn, Mary Ann Crail, Lucas Sally, Shane A, and Jordan. Patreon.com/StevieWeeby. Get involved. Let's help this thing grow.
Get involved. Show some support.
Yeah. I have music on my Bandcamp, StevieWeebyBandcamp.com. The Instagram attached to this show is Instagram/QUANGOU. I want to plug my new vlog series called Stevie's P.O. Box. People liked the first one. I'm going to keep doing them. So if you want to help that vlog series grow, send your packages to the Stevie Weeby Show, 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. I think that basically covers it all. That was awesome. That just flew by.
Yeah, I know. That was super fun.
With that being said, now it's time for Little Ray's World. Welcome to Lil Ray's World Show. All I gotta say is kids' minds must grow. I got abducted by some aliens dropped in snow. Whoa. Stuck into a world that I do not know. So join me in adventures now. And I promise not to have a cow. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey, hey. So welcome to my world. To all the boys and girls. Welcome to Little Ray's World. Yeehaw! What's that smell, man? Oh my God. Looks like a goddamn cheeseburger, man. Hey, buddy. What's going on? So your name was Bert. You're married to a woman. She was a server at a restaurant, and you worked at a Monterey cheese factory? Is that correct? So you were depressed, and one day you decided to put your head into a cheese cutter, and you decapitated your head, and now you're a goddamn cheeseburger? Well, that's so sad, man. I don't know what to say to you, but me and Beef haven't eaten a good meal in 2.5 years, so you better walk away before I eat you.
Okay.
And I also wrote a song about you. It goes like this. This one's called Bert the Cheeseburger Man.
Bert the Cheeseburger Man, why'd you have to hurt her? He had a crappy job, abuse his wife further. He was a top burner for a company called Verner, who made Monterey cheese that did not concern her. During his breaks there, man, he was a soul searcher, reminiscing of the days back west as a surfer. His lady wasn't better off as a restaurant server. They were both slow learners, that's why they formed a merger. One day he had enough being a corporate cheese worker, stuck his head inside a Model 4 002. Man, who would have known where depression finds you? Now Bert became a cheeseburger that you can't chew. Bert the Cheeseburger Man. Bert
about 2 weeks, man, for another episode of Little Ray's World. Go to stevieweebybandcamp.com also and get some of that music, man. Let's get her done.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.